Please note, we are unable to play the songs referenced in this episode due to the legal stuff on this platform. For the full immersive experience, listen to DYUHWW on Mixcloud.com or play the songs on your favorite music streaming platform.
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work? Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work? Do you understand how words work?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today
with Ms. Nina Davis.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us for segment 2 of DE&I, or Divequiclusion. I am the favored servant of the Lord, but y'all can call me Ms. Nina Davis. It's no secret, here at Do You Understand How Words Work, we love the word, the music, and we seek to love all the humans. I must tell you all something right up front. In the last segment, we announced that we'd be covering survey data and getting society's two cents on DE&I this segment. However, there's been a change since recording that segment. So, in this second segment of DE&I or Divequiclusion, we are going to look at the spiritual context of Divequiclusion, also known as spiritually speaking. We will find out what the Bible says about DE&I. Does God care if the weak and oppressed are considered in society? Of course He does. He is love, remember? And He cares about the individual human being because we are made in His image. We were created by Him to be like Him. So, He cares how each of us is treated, regardless of any group, minority, or majority we may belong to. As His created, we all belong to Him, whether we believe that or not. Essentially, we're all in the same group. We're all humans with a soul, created by God. We may all be different types of humans, but we are all humans. Why is that not enough for some of us, Lord?
I don't know, Nina.
Hold up, wait.
Before we get into all that, up first is a tribe favorite. Here is one of our favorite mini segments, Word Up. Welcome to Word Up, a mini segment designed to serve up an extra dose of word while enlightening and freeing your mind. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Romans 1:12. In today's Word Up, we take a closer look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. Sure, we're all familiar with the story. As a kid, we could win the Good Samaritan Award at school if we showed care and concern for our peers. Most of us learned just the surface parts of that parable because that's what we were told to focus on. But there are so many questions about this parable that were left unanswered. Like, who is the Samaritan? Why did the other guy need help? What about those guys that passed by the hurt man? We are about to answer all those questions and more. To refresh the details for yourself, the parable can be found in Luke 10, 25 through 37. Again, the parable can be found in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, we find the practice of loving your neighbor as yourself from our first episode of DYUHWW and Die Vecquiclusion, this episode of DYUHWW, all wrapped up in one intriguing story. Jesus tells this parable because one of the hecklers in the crowd he's speaking to decides to try and put Jesus to the test. Dude is like, I'm a fancy lawyer guy, and I'm smart and intelligent and important. Aren't you sharp to tech? You some type of law or something, somebody important or something. So, tell me, Jesus, how do I inherit eternal life? Now, of course, Jesus already knew what this dude was getting at. He's omniscient. Can't trick him. So, Jesus is like, well, fancy lawyer guy, you're intelligent. What does the law say? How do you interpret it? Fancy lawyer guy, thinking he's about to impress somebody with his knowledge, regurgitates the law word for word like, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is like, you've got it. You're correct, fancy lawyer guy. Do that and you get eternal life. But fancy lawyer guy couldn't let it go. We all know folks that don't know when to stop. But this guy, he's like, well, Rabbi Jesus of Nazareth. You know, he put a little stank when he said Nazareth because people were already talking about how nothing good ever came out of Nazareth. So he was like, well, Rabbi Jesus of Nazareth, who is my neighbor then? Jesus, so unimpressed with this dude, is like, you're so lame. Look here, fancy lawyer guy. Since you're so smart, riddle me this. And proceeds to tell him the story of the man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. This is the same Jericho where the city walls fell because God told them to. It was located in the Jordan Valley, about 17 miles east of Jerusalem, in the area known as the West Bank today. Today, it's known as Hill of the Sultan. The trip itself was dangerous. No paved roads and automobiles like we have today. This journey more than likely would have been made on donkey or on foot in the hot desert sands and treacherous steep terrain, since Jerusalem is about 2,500 feet above sea level and Jericho is about 846 feet below sea level. That's right, below, under the surface of the sea. Plus, bad guys found this to be a great route to hit a few licks. In fact, that's what happened to the traveler. He's robbed and beaten badly, left for dead in a ditch on the side of the rocky, dusty, unpaved road. And here's where the story gets interesting. A priest, also on his way to Jericho, sees the balled up heap of man and quickly decides he does not want to get involved. Whatever is going on with that man, the priest decides it's none of his business. To state the obvious, it's weird that a priest of God would think that way. But,
okay.
After the priest, a Levite approaches the severely injured man, takes one look, and decides he wants to be off the road before dark, and if he stops, it could take too long, or the robbers could come back. So He too crosses the street and keeps it moving to Jericho. You may not be familiar with the Levites. The Levites are a chosen branch of the 12 tribes of Judah, set apart to serve God only in the tabernacle and later in the temple. They were considered the holiest of men. Unfortunately, some think holiness can exist separate from humaneness. Guess some don't know how holy works. Back to the story. Just as the man is about to lose consciousness, a Samaritan approaches, who is also going to Jericho. We know the Samaritan helps the beaten man, so let's talk about the significance of his Samaritan ethnicity. The other men in this story are Jewish, the priest, the Levite, and the robbed and beaten man. Though, I'm not sure about the robbers. Anyway, due to the Assyrian conquest of Israel in about 722 BC, interracial marriages between the remaining Jewish population and immigrant implants in the region known as Samaria, Samaritans were created. The traveler is a descendant of those Samaritans. Samaria was known for idolatry and all sorts of pagan practices. The mixed Jews were hated by the non-mixed Jews partly because of their religious practices. Sound familiar? This stuff has been going on forever, y'all. It's important to note that the Samaritan is helping a man that would probably look down on him and not be caught talking to him in public if he were healthy. The Samaritan doesn't just help the fellow to his feet. He puts him on his ride, a donkey but still, and takes him to a hotel where he pays for his care and recuperation with a promise to pay any additional fees when he returns from Jericho. That's loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. It's also diversity. The men are different ethnicities. It's equity. The Samaritan provided accommodations for the traveler who could not provide for himself. And it's inclusion. He takes the traveler to a hotel to recoup. He doesn't leave him on the side of the road alone. Jesus finishes the story and then asks fancy lawyer guy which of these men was a neighbor to the man that was robbed and beaten. And fancy lawyer guy, reduced to a more appropriate level of humility, answers reluctantly, the one who helped him. And Jesus is like, huh? Speak up there, sonny. I can't hear you. Just kidding. Jesus is like, now you really understand, not just know the law. Go and practice the same. There are several lessons we can learn from this parable. Here are a few. 1. You can't outsmart Jesus. You cannot do it. He is omniscient. He knows everything already, past, present, and future. 2. Neighbors help each other. You want to know who your neighbor is? It's the person you're helping. 3. Help may come from unlikely sources. Don't look down on the help just because it doesn't look like the help you think it should. To put it all together and relate it back to our episode topic, Divec Reclusion, this parable made it into the book of Luke because of the racial dynamics between the Jews and the Samaritans. On a normal day, neither group would have thought twice about helping the other. We read about such an encounter when Jesus visits with a woman at a well in Samaria. You can find that story in the book of John, chapter 4 in the New Testament. This extreme example of how being a neighbor works completely rendered the fancy lawyer guy's question of who is my neighbor null and void, because our neighbor is who we act neighborly to. It's not who can do something for us. Our neighbors are not only the people in our communities, our state, or our country. everyone is our neighbor. And DE&I applies to all of our neighbors. And DE&I is about making accommodations and showing consideration for our neighbors so that they have access to services and goods they would otherwise not be able to attain. Today, Tribe, try being a neighbor to someone different from you. Imagine you are of a different ethnicity, or you practice a different religion. Perhaps you can imagine you've been victimized or injured by others, or maybe you can imagine being from a distant country with different laws and a different culture. I'm guessing no matter what you picture in your mind, you still want to be treated neighborly. Love your neighbor as yourself. Hashtag Galatians 5:14. Dear Mr. Christian, word up.
You know, God made me funky.
Do you understand how words work?
That song should make us all stop and think. He said, ain't gluttony a sin? Why you staring at my gin? Where I'm from, we don't pretend. We know we ain't getting in. Now the world don't trust me, and these streets done crush me. Thought you were known for love, but you just love to judge me. Truth is, ironically, you need me around though, cause otherwise, you got nobody else to look down on. Please, don't be a hypocritical Christ follower. This song is a good reminder of all the ways DE&I practices in our communities might actually save a life. There are many that want us to believe DE&I does not have anything to do with Christianity and that it is about putting minority groups ahead of majority groups just because they are minorities, and that minorities shouldn't get to skip them. They falsely assume that because they are the majority, they must be the best at, well, everything. But DE&I says, consider, you may not be the best, and the best may look different than you'd expect it to. The majority will tell us to just work hard and develop our skills, and we can be anything we want to be. Well, that's only part of the truth. Yes, we all need to work to improve our skills and talents. However, we can work smarter, not harder. Additionally, if we do all the work to become an expert in our field, but we get rejected because we don't fit into the predetermined box, well then, I guess all that hard work didn't work, did it? Furthermore, the fact that some humans have to do the work in advance to become an expert, while others can get on-the-job training for the exact same role, is also why DE&I is needed. DE&I doesn't say, hey, pick me because I'm African-American or Mexican-American or LGBTQ+. Or wheelchair bound. It says, consider me despite the parts of my life you may not like, because I've done the work to get here. Now, if we haven't done the work, or if we are not doing the work, the hard truth is that opportunity is probably not for us anyway. We must do our part. DE&I is not an excuse to show up unprepared. Which leads us to spiritually speaking. The best way to be prepared for everything is to roll with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about the Holy Ghost. So, what does the Bible say about DE&I? Anything at all? Was DE&I even a thing way back then? Is the Holy Trinity concerned with how all humans are treated? Is there a did you practice DE&I question when we get to eternity? Many of you may already know that people, human beings, are treated as top priority to God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And furthermore, How the least of these are treated in this life is a direct reflection of how we treat God, according to Jesus, Matthew 25:40. Also, we see time and time again in Scripture, when the oppressed call out for God's help and mercy, He comes running to their rescue. Let's break this down like an old school R&B remix. Starting with Galatians 3:28. Paul tells the Galatian Christ followers there is no separation, no division amongst Christ followers, because race, social status, and gender do not matter when we view humans from a spiritual perspective instead of a fleshly perspective. God sees all followers of Christ as He sees Christ, blameless, spotless, free of blemish. Because we have accepted the gift of salvation through Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. He sees our spiritual selves, not our flesh selves. Thus, as followers of Christ, if we aim to be like Him, we must do the same. See other humans as their spiritual selves. If we keep in mind that we all have a soul, it can be easier to remember to consider those that may be physically, politically, and/or religiously different from us. Different does not equal bad or wrong, someone said on a mission trip one time. In Romans 12:4-5, Paul makes it clear that even though we are different and have different functions, as Christ followers, we are expected to work together for the greater purposes in this kingdom work. The physical body has many different parts. No one is made up of all arms or all teeth or all toes. That would be silly and ridiculous. Instead, we are made of all the necessary parts for a functioning body. And as such, we don't expect our eyes to do the heart's job or expect the ears to function as our liver, right? Paul is saying it is the same with Christ followers. We all work out of our own purpose, skills, and talent for the benefit of the whole. And to put an even finer point on it, this unity of diversity is not just for church service or church functions. This is how we, Christ followers, are to approach all aspects of our lives concerning working with other humans, regardless of what they believe. Add 1 Peter 4:10, 1 Corinthians 12:12, and Revelation 7:9 to your study this week for an in-depth understanding of how significant diversity and inclusion are to the God of the angel armies.
Well, if race, social status, and gender don't matter to the God of the angel armies, what does matter?
Asked the choir somebody is always preaching to. Faithful choir members, that's an excellent question. Acts 10:34-36 gives a great answer. It reads, Peter fairly exploded with his good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer, he said. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you are from. If you want God and are ready to do as He says, the door is open. The message He sent to the children of Israel, that through Jesus Christ everything is being put together again, well, He's doing it everywhere, right now, among everyone. Paul was excited. God is looking for and using those that are willing and ready to obey Him. Want to get on God's good side? Obey what He tells you to do. And he has told all of us that follow Christ to love him wholeheartedly and to love our neighbors, aka all other humans, as well as we love ourselves. Of course, that includes applying diversity, equity, and inclusion to our lives. These are required spiritual principles if we seek growth and connection to the Father. So when it comes to equity then, which we learned is defined as providing accommodations to address existing inequalities, Scripture is equally clear. Proverbs 21:3 tells us, "To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." Again, this is for those who are seeking to please Adonai. As we read and study the Bible, we find the themes of right and just, justice and mercy, and walking humbly throughout the books. All of these themes deal with equity. Remember, equity does not mean equal or the same. It means accommodating to address existing inequalities for those who cannot address them on their own. James 3:17 teaches, "Heavenly wisdom centers on purity, peace, gentleness, deference, mercy, and other good fruits untainted by hypocrisy." The book of James, yes, brother of Jesus, was written around 40 to 45 AD to Jewish Christians. It, of course, applies to non-Jewish Christians, too. So, what does this verse have to do with equity? I'll tell you. Heavenly wisdom centers on it. The word deference in this scripture, or humble submission and respect, is another word for consideration, thoughtfulness, and courteousness. The practice of applying these three words, consideration, thoughtfulness, and courteousness, to the way we engage other humans is equity. The Message version of the verse says, "Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. That means not just tolerating them, but accepting their limitations and meeting them where they are." If you've read any of the Bible, you probably already know inclusion is covered a lot. However, let's look at one of the most standout examples in the Old Testament, or what we call the OT around here. This illustration of inclusion comes from the entire book of Ruth. Yep, all four chapters. Ruth's very existence as a Moabite woman is DE&I. She's a direct descendant of Lot, Abraham's nephew. See, the Moabite people come into existence via Lot and his eldest daughter after God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. Long story short, Ruth, a childless immigrant widow, finds harvesting work, which leads to marriage and stability. And Ruth goes on to become King David's great-grandmother, putting her directly in Jesus' genealogy. Your family history is probably not nearly as sketchy as Jesus's. Christianity, though taught wrong frequently, is the most inclusive of religions. Just look at the motley crew of apostles Jesus rolled with. Let's take a quick music break. Listen to the lyrics of "Speak Life" by Damian Marley.
"For God so loved the world that he gave them
Ms. Nina Davis so she could ask,
do you understand how words work? Do you understand how words work?" And we're back. It's time for our next new favorite mini segment called Ask THS, or Ask the Holy Spirit.
Trust questions over here. We got questions over here. Questions over here.
The Holy Spirit, given to those who follow Christ as a helper, is available for questions all the time. So, we have some questions for THS.
The Holy Spirit, everything is crazy in the world right now, and nothing seems to make sense. Is this the end?
Well, beloved, you are correct to be concerned. However, this is not the end. Things will get much worse before the end.
Well, that's not good news. I thought you were going to tell me something good.
Actually, it is good news. Things must get worse for the end to come so that we can begin anew. So, you're welcome. Next question.
The Holy Spirit, if we're no longer under the Mosaic law of DOT, which restricted certain animals from human consumption? Why can't I eat all of the bacon I want to eat?
Who said you can't? You absolutely can eat all the bacon you want. But you will have to deal with the consequences of your consumption. These include, but are not limited to, heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, accumulation of body fat, constipation, bloating, gas, and other side effects. Is it worth it? If so, pig out.
The Holy Spirit, our current leaders are corrupt and take advantage of the weak. Do I still have to pray for
pray for them if you love Jesus Christo. You see, God has put these leaders in place regardless of how it looks, and God's will is the thing you continue to pray for. There is a purpose to God's assignments of men. If you want to know more about that, you'll have to ask Him.
Please visit our website at www.dyuhww.org. Now, we've been discussing how spirituality applies to DE&I, And for some, this is the first time these two things have collided in the same thought. These two things being spirituality and DE&I. We're reminded throughout the scriptures that considering others is how God operates and how he wants us to live. DE&I is simply considering others. Don't let anyone tell you DE&I means something that it does not. We have all learned in this segment and the last what these three words, diversity, equity, and inclusion, actually mean and how they work together. Popular culture does not change facts. Popular culture only seeks to influence the moment. Don't get caught up in the moment. Stay big picture focused.
What's the big picture, Ms. Nina?
The big picture is eternity. The life to come after this one, which will last forever. The truth is, there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. For the same Lord is Lord over all, and he is abounding in riches for all who call on him. Romans 10:12. This means the differences society wants to use to divide us are imagined problems. A lot of humans have been gaslit to believe one human can be better or worse than another human based on their skin color, ethnicity, genealogy, ancestry, or heritage. Nope, that's not a real thing. We, like God, in whose image we are made, are more than our packaging. What really tells others who we are and what we're about is how we treat them and ourselves. How we respond or react in challenging situations, our convictions, morals, and values are who we really are from the inside out. Do we make the best decisions for our health and long-term survival, or do we chase quick satisfaction for the thrill of the moment? Do we exercise discipline and self-control in our daily routine? Implementing DE&I practices, whether government forced or not, is to all of our benefits, but it also is a required philosophy for Christ followers. Diversity-inclusion, or considering others and doing our part to accommodate where there may be a gap for some, is the example Christ personified while he walked this earth. Why wouldn't we do the same if we claim to be his? So, from a spiritual perspective, or spiritually speaking, whether or not our company, our church, or our government practices, supports, or implements DE&I policies and practices, as human beings, we can incorporate these behaviors for ourselves to really get the best out of this life and the next. We've come to our final music break for this segment of DE&I, or Diversity-Inclusion. Please pay close attention to the lyrics in I Felt That by Eshawn Burgundy.
Spread love. It's eternal, and so are you.
Do you understand how words work? Ms. Nina felt those lyrics. And just so you all know, these songs are selected specifically for the message in the lyrics. These artists have been able to capture the essence of the context we are discussing. In this song specifically, examples where one has the upper hand and chooses not to harm, that's DE&I. Like, David could have killed Saul more than once, but he didn't because his focus was on obeying God, even though he was already anointed as Israel's next king. If our focus is on God, the concept of DE&I will naturally develop in us and be expressed through how we engage others. This concludes today's episode, and you all have been amazing. I hope and pray you all feel more empowered to add diversity, equity, and inclusion to the way you live your lives. Thank you for your continued support. On our next segment for DE&I, we will dive into that survey data and find out what society has to say about divequiclusion. Ms. Nina will be back with more Do You Understand How Words Work? Soon and very soon. Until next time, practice love, give grace, and stay funky. Shalom. Life is an eternal journey. Earth is just one destination. Please visit our website at www.dyuhww.org.
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work? Do you understand how words work?